Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Such an honour to be preaching this morning. And Steve, that was just incredible. I'm hoping I can get through this without bawling. Deb and Dilshan, all that you're doing, it's an honour to have you in the house. And we're honoured. Guys, we're going to talk about biblical justice this morning. And the reason that Pastor Alan Jessen wanted me to stand up and teach in this moment was this is the commission of the church. This is not a response out of guilt. This is what we are called to do. We need to wake up as a church. We need to wake up as kingdom people and look beyond ourselves. And Pastor Alan Jessen, how beautiful, and I'm so honoured. Anyone else super honoured to be a part of this church, to be able to give money? I love this house. I love this house. I love that we see beyond ourselves. But today we're going to talk about this biblical understanding and the commissioning that God has given us. The commissioning to send money overseas, but be that social justice ambassador in our communities today. So have a seat, guys. Thank you so much, Jules. I appreciate that. I'm going to honour Mitch Hammond this morning, who wrote these incredible notes, and I sound super smart. It's always amazing when you have campaigns written by someone who's just got a heart for this. It was funny, as I was studying this, my grandmother was a matron of the Sydney City Mission in the centre of Sydney. She was there for years upon years, and we would go out on day outings, and I'd be like so excited about my day outings with my grandmother, and we would go and minister to homeless people in the city. I figured it out later, because I was like, every time we'd walk through Sydney, she'd be like, it's okay, you'll have a milkshake at the end. But I had to kind of walk through all the and talk to all the homeless people to get my milkshake. But my grandmother was always this essence and understanding of you are saved in Christ for others. It's what you do with this that matters. We don't get to the end and say, oh, well, you know, I got healed, I did this, I did that, I got saved, it's all okay. I want to see the impact when I get to heaven. I want to be able to say I impacted as much as I could down there on the earth. This wasn't my goal. The goal wasn't, like Mitch said on that video, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I want to see the restoration of justice on this earth. I want to see people. How beautiful is that, where we've got people? I love vision builders. Anyone else? Because I love that my money travels more than me. I'm kind of slightly jealous when I give to vision builders, because I know that this little coin is going to go to places. Paul Mackin said it. It's going to go to places that I simply cannot go. It's going to do things that I simply cannot do in my nature that is an introvert and is terrified of speaking to people. It's going to go into these communities. I love the fact that I get to be a part of that impact. Okay, three things I'm going to talk about today if you're taking notes. We're talking about restoring the image of God in society. That's what I really want to focus on. Number one, the problem. We're going to talk about the need for restoration. Church, we need to wake up, because they're from Genesis. We're going to talk about that there is a need for restoration. And we live in a blessed country. We live in a safe country. We live in a country that we, but how heartbreaking is that? That is not a goal that we want. The third highest is Australia. That has to change. We need to get off that list. That's number two, the plan, the call to justice. I'm going to talk about what Jesus did on the cross that started something that we actually are called to continue. And then three, the promise at the end, the hope of justice. All right, let's go. You guys jump into Genesis 1, 26. We're going to start there. What's the origin of injustice? We're just going to do some teaching around that. The origin of injustice is the fall. And unfortunately, as we go back to this fall moment, I'm going to show you what the perfection was supposed to look like, what the created order, the intention was supposed to be, so that you can see how far we've fallen from it. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. I want you to notice that, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Can you see this beautiful union? And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This beautiful created order perfection, this beautiful moment of what's called shalom. It basically means flourishing, peace, fruitfulness. It's this beautiful moment where our relationship with God was intact. Our relationship with one another was good, and our relationship with creation was good. Can you feel that? It's kind of got the right order and everything's working. It's kind of like this symbiotic moment where everything's working, and then unfortunately, Genesis 3 happened. But we have this kind of right order and this goal where God created us in his image. Now, church, I know that you know that God created you in his image. We hear it, right? I'm created in the image of God and I'm... But you know what? God created everybody in his image. What does that mean? That little two-year-old that got rescued. Anyone else? That broke my heart. Created in the image of God. Those women that are in slavery, without dignity, without control over their own bodies, created in the image of God. What I want to talk to you today is about maybe understanding the image of God in you, but looking for the image of God in others. Looking and restoring the image of God, dignity, hope, the ability to produce, pay for their own wages. Those things are restoring the kingdom of God in others, and that's the heart of our church. That's what we need to do. As I'm studying this, God always brings examples into my life. And I was studying this, and I was walking to across to the city, and this homeless man was coming towards me. And I'm going to confess, I would not have noticed him had I not been preaching on this. I'm going to be honest. I'm blind. My grandmother would be heartbroken. And I saw him come, and I was like, I almost stepped out of the way. Anyone? Almost. He was yelling and ranting, and he smelt of urine. And he said, Katie... God said to me, Katie, that restore the image of God in that man. And I was like, God, how can I do that? How do we do that, church? We can give to foundations. We can give to IJM. We can give to Dilshan. We can give the money so that they can restore the image of God in these people. And I love that we can get involved. Okay, shalom means this, multi-dimensional complete well-being. So it's this physical, psychological, social, and spiritual. It's this beautiful moment where everything's good. And then sin came in. Sin, I love where Mitch wrote this in the notes. Injustice was born out of the self-serving will. We stopped it being about God and about others and about taking care of creation, and we made it about ourselves. And even in today's society, everything is telling you it's about you. Can I say to you this morning, it's not about you. It's about them. This morning, God wants to say to us, he'll take care of you, you take care of them. If, as we trust God to provide for us, to heal us, to take care of us, that is one step, step A. Step B is give it to others. So I love this IJM definition of injustice. Injustice is what happens when someone uses their power to take from someone else the good things God intended them to have. Their life, their liberty, their dignity, or the fruit of their love or their labor. So beautiful. So that is the problem. Bad problem, yep. Yeah? Let's have a look at the plan, the call to justice. I was reading in the prophets. Anyone love the Old Testament prophets? They're fiery. They're calling down hell on it. It's like, yes, burning fire. You've got to kind of balance it out a little bit. But I was reading in Isaiah this passion for justice. And let me tell you, church, a little bit of a warning. Isaiah doesn't go after the world to take care of justice. He goes after the church, the people of God. If the church isn't taking care of justice, the world is jumping in. We need to be at the forefront, at the cutting edge of restoring justice, because this is our commission. Perhaps we've let it go, so other organisations are jumping in on the thing. We need to take it back and say, yep, this is our heart, this is our commission. Isaiah 59:14 says this, He's looking at the people of God and he's like, wow. So justice is driven back and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased because there was no justice. Isaiah 1:17 says this, and I'm going to read it to you. Sorry, guys, I did add these later. Bad preacher, sorry. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed. He's speaking to the people of God. Take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. That is our commission. I love in Matthew 6:10, Mitch did it in the video, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of us need to be involved in restoring the image of God in people's lives. This is not a C3 Cares issue. This is not calling Jake Betlem and saying, could you come? This is a us issue. Yeah. It's an us issue. And when we look at situations, I was saying in the 8:30 service, I was speaking to, there was a gentleman giving a testimony and he was talking about living in a really bad community. And he was saying, I can hear this man beating his wife every night. And I was like, that's heartbreaking. And he said, but I just pray. Oh, I was really annoyed. I was like, what are you doing? Yes, pray. Do something. There's got to be more, church. And I think prayer is amazing. And I'm not saying for him to go and put himself in a bad situation, but call the police. I'm a police officer's daughter. So I was like, did you ring? I nearly said 000. I nearly said 911 then. I got it wrong. Did you ring 911? Church, we need to be activated in this essence. It's not someone else's problem. It's actually the commission of the church. It's actually us. And I love the fact that we are involved in these things through our vision builders. Okay, Jesus, the more I read the Gospels, anyone else, the more I fall in love with Jesus' social justice heart. He brought in a new covenant. And there's two things. I love this. The covenant deals with two things, the root of injustice, which is the human condition, and the fruit of injustice, which is broken relationships. I love the fact that the cross, as I was studying the cross and thinking about the cross, that cross was the greatest moment of social reformation. Why? Because it didn't just reform what was happening in the heavenlies, it reformed what was happening from that point on. From that cross point on, there was the ability for not just freedom for sin, freedom for your deliverance and all the things that happen, but freedom literally in people's lives. Freedom that the church would be commissioned with the cross. I pray that the cross wouldn't just be about your individual salvation, but your reconciliation for everyone else. I pray the cross would be in you and through you, that you can't not see it. Now, let me tell you, I've been praying this week, God, take my blinders off. And I have to say, I've cried more this week than I ever have. I'd be like, what am I doing with these blinders on, church? How am I walking past these people? I remember I said to my grandmother one day, she said, Katie, we're going into the city. And I figured out what that was. And I said, Grandma, I really don't want to go into the city today. And she said, Katie Haldane. It was like I had offended the Queen. She loved the Queen. And I had denim jeans on, which she hates denim jeans. And she said, Katie Haldane, your Christianity is not for you, it's through you. Christ takes care of you. You take care of others. Don't forget it. I remember that. And I was like, yep, we're going into the city. Church, I'm saying this, Christ takes care of you, so you take care of others. We've got to get this essence of getting it through us. A bit convicting this morning, isn't it? Okay, let's go. You okay? Colossians 1:19-20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's this beautiful restoration of everything that happened in Genesis. He's restoring right order with God, right order with people, and right order with creation, all in this cross moment. Lastly, the promise. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation, restoring the image of God in people. And this is in 2 Corinthians 5:16-18. Let me read this to you. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Can I say, church? That's such an opening statement. He's basically saying how you see them is how you'll treat them. Can you hear it? How you see them is how you treat them. I remember my grandmother, this is all about my grandma today, not Jesus. I remember she, every time she spoke to a homeless person, she would kneel down, and I remember thinking, she's got, you know, really expensive shoes and an outfit on. She would kneel down and she'd say, "Hello, sweetheart, how are you? Oh my gosh, I so love you." And I'm like, oh, how you treat them, how you see them is how you treat them. I love the fact that when we see what IJM is doing and going out and seeing these people that desperately need rescuing, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to be invested in that. Let's keep going. "Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ..." Can you hear this? He's saying, if anyone is in Christ out there, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Why? Why are you reconciled to Christ? Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Don't you love the fact that our salvation, reconciliation with God, reconciliation with Christ, there's a to-do with that. I love in Luke 4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to..." The empowerment of the church is for a purpose. I love the fact that the Spirit's moving through this church. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit's falling. I love the fact, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's got a purpose, people. You come down the front, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's got a purpose. God is anointing you and empowering you to do something with that. And I love that sense of uncomfortableness in God, because you realize it's, wait a second, he's given this to me for a reason. I love this. Reconciliation is about making things right. And Mitch said it so beautifully. Restoring dignity to the homeless. Restoring hope to the hopeless. Safety to those who are being abused. Church, if we are not a voice in this time, how many people out there behind closed doors are not hearing the goodness of God? How many people that you see in your communities around you, because maybe you're a little bit too scared to say something, say something. Be that voice. Be that essence of Christ in that situation. I love the fact that when Christ walked the earth, he couldn't go past a marginalized person without doing something. He wasn't like, "I've got to get to the cross. I've got anyone else? Got to get to work. Got to get to the cross." He had to stop and do something with it. He had 3 years to change the world, yet that wasn't his mission. His mission was people. He had 3 years to train up his disciples and do all the church stuff, but that wasn't his mission. His mission was people. He changed society when he walked around. He is the template for how we live today. And then the cross did the rest. But do you know what the cross did? When he ascended, he basically said, "I've done everything, church. Tag, you're it. Take care of them now. Be a light. Be the kingdom. Be a light to the widows. Take care of people. It's now, tag, you're it." Okay, let's go, guys. We're into the promise. I'm in Revelations. Are you ready? Revelation 21. My favorite book. Come with me to the dark side. No, I'm joking. Revelation 21, 3-5. This is the goal. This is the end. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling places are now among the people, and he will dwell with them." This is when Father God is restored to the earth. Okay, this is when heaven and earth meet. Father God is restored, and it's all restored back to that right relationship, right? These guys, everything's restored back. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Can you hear that? At that point is when he will wipe every tear from their eyes. From the cross here in the middle point, it's yours. It's up to us to wipe their tears away. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Between the plan of the cross and the promise of restoration, it's up to us as Christ's ambassadors. Is there somebody in your world that you need to step in and say, "Hey, you know what? I can see the image of God in you. I'm going to restore dignity." Maybe clothing someone. maybe feeding someone. Let's not leave it to C3 Cares to be the cares arm of our church. I can't wait to the day that we don't need C3. Well, I love C3 Cares, but I can't wait to the day when we don't need C3 Cares and we are all C3 Cares. C3 SYD is what we're doing together, not leaving it to Jake Betlem. It's an amazing commission on us. As I was praying over this and as I finished, guys, I was hearing the heart of Isaiah towards the church just saying, guys, please. And I love, as I said, I love the fact that my vision builder's money goes places I can't go, does things beyond my personality, goes to all these incredible moments. And Isaiah 6:8 came. Can I get the band up, please? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. As I was praying over this message, I realized that I'm in Australia and I'm in a beautiful, affluent country, but I'm in a broken country. I'm in a country that desperately needs the kingdom of God. I'm in a country that desperately needs the church. But then if I go outside that sphere, outside my own moment, I think of that two-year-old that desperately needs my McDonald's money so that she can have a life. I think of Child Action Lanka. Don't get so beautifully comfortable here that you forget that there's a there. Anyone? We don't want to respond out of guilt in these moments. That's not what we're responding. We're responding out of a commissioning. This is our responsibility. Giving for me isn't a guilt moment. Giving for me is a lifestyle. That's who I am. Stand to your feet, guys. So we are so honoured to be a part of IJM. We're so honoured to be able to give to Child Action Lanka. But speaking into the heart of C3SYD this morning, guys, this is us. We are a generous church that loves the people of Sydney. We are a generous church that wants to restore the image of God in people. What does that mean? Safety for those who are being abused. Food for those who need it. Connect groups. Start to open your eyes to see what's just around the corner. You're meeting in a connect group here and you can imagine Jesus going, they're right next door. They've just come out of your little bubble for a second. They're right next door. Just raise your hands, church. Who's your neighbour? Who's right next door that God is calling you? Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for IJM. We thank you for all that we're doing in partnering with this incredible ministry, that our money goes to places. We thank you for the vision of Pastor Alan Jessen to see beyond us, to see beyond our borders, to see beyond our walls, and to go and rescue. And Father, we pray for those people out there that need our help. This morning, I'm not praying for you, church. Let's pray for them. Father, we pray for those people. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see those in our community that desperately need us to be that voice of justice. Open our eyes to see those who we can give meals to. Open our eyes to see. Let commission us afresh as a church to go and to speak. Forgive us where we're comfortable, Lord. Forgive us where we have become very comfortable in our own lives. You take care of us, we'll take care of them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if this morning you don't know Jesus, you haven't given your life to Jesus, then I'm not going to go any further without that. Jesus Christ came and died so that you would be set free. He came and died. He came to this earth, died on the cross so that you wouldn't live bound, that you wouldn't live in sin or in shame. And if this morning you haven't accepted that free gift of Jesus, then I want you to put up your hand. It's going to take boldness, but say, you know what? I do need to accept Jesus this morning. If that is you, then I want you to boldly put up your hand. It's Freedom Sunday. What a great day to give your life to Christ. If that is you this morning and you've come into this church and you don't know Jesus or given him your life, then put up your hand this morning. We're just going to wait, church. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. Love it. Church, we're going to say this prayer, and if you didn't feel comfortable putting up your hands but you want to say this prayer with me, say it with me, and then just let somebody know after that you said it. Say it with me, church. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life this morning. I give you my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Wash me free from sin. Set me free. Empower me with the Holy Spirit and help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give me 30 seconds, church. Raise your hands. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the commissioning of this church this morning and for what we've been doing for the last 40 years with under Pastor Phil and Chris. The heart of this church to go beyond ourselves. The heart of this church to reach those who are lost in other nations. I thank you, Father, that you would commission us afresh this morning. This isn't about a guilty response. This is the commissioning of the Father. Thank you, Lord, that you would send us, send our money, send us so we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.